Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
How many of you got a good word this weekend? Hallelujah. Let me tell you, that's just the beginning of many, many good words. Because as you know, as we started coming to this church, I would hear Pastor Daniel say, the best is yet to come. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And you know, and when we got here, it wasn't good for us. We weren't in a good place. But then God began to work in us. And as we yielded to the Holy Ghost, as we yielded to the Lord, as we began to seek the Lord, hallelujah, God began to change our lives. And God began to bless us like we've never been blessed before. And let me tell you, since the day that I arrived, it's gotten better and better and better. But I got good news. The best is yet to come. And I remember thinking, could that be possible? Some of you may be in that place right now. I don't know if things can get good. Let me tell you, they can. Amen? And the word that you received today, I want to speak tonight on what to do with it. What you going to do with the word you received? Because it wasn't a fortune cookie. It wasn't your horoscope. Christianity is a contact sport. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, Christianity is a contact sport. So in Acts 21, and you may remain seated today, hallelujah, you had a long weekend, I'll give you a break today. But in Acts 21, verse 10 says, after we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, coming over to us. He took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand them over to the Gentiles. They were very expressive back in those days. Verse 12. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? Don't go breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be bound, but also die in Jerusalem. For the name of the Lord Jesus, when he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. After this, we started on our way up to Jerusalem. Father, I pray you speak to your people today. Let every doubt be cast down in Jesus' name. And let the word go in and drive out and build up and edify your people into a mighty army in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the prophetic word came, just like for all of us this weekend, came the prophetic word. And it's not a horoscope. It's not a reading. It's not, you know, telling your future what's going to happen. But rather, you know, the reason for the prophetic words that God gives is that God is alive and still speaking to us. We do not serve a dead God, but our God is alive. Our God is a speaking God. Hallelujah. And he loves you. And he loves you so much that what you care about, he cares about. And through the scriptures, like in 2 Timothy 3:16, is we hear the word of the Lord. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Uh-oh. That's why we have to read the Word of God. That's why we must know the Word of God. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God will show us where we need to be corrected. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So we hear first and foremost by the word of God. Then there's the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26 says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you everything I have said to you. So when you read the word of God, and the more you know the word of God, David said, your word I have kept in my heart. In other words, I've memorized it. I've read it. I have a continual habit of reading the word of God, of putting it in my heart so that I will not sin against you. So when you know the word of God, Holy Spirit, he will remind you of the things of the Lord and he will guide you in all truth. We hear Pastor Daniel many times talking about lack of peace. I had no peace. I had no peace about this, and so I didn't do it. What is that? Is a leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The inward is the prophetic word spoken over you, which we had this weekend. And what we had happen this past weekend and many times here. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons I'm in this church is because of the prophetic word that came to my family. And I played it a few weeks ago. And then we went to Pastor Tammy and Scott Choir's Home for Life group. If you get a prophetic word, but you don't go to Life group, your prophetic word is not going to come about. Because it's not a horoscope. It's not magic. It's not a magic wand. But it's direction. It's actually an affirmation. Hallelujah. Actually, it's affirmation. And we began going to the Life group, and we were sitting there. We did the book of Galatians. It was the first one. Our first Life group was the book of Galatians. And I remember, we're having a potluck, after every Life group. We had a potluck. We're just talking about our favorite parts. I vividly remember that there was a tray of gnocchi. Is that what it was, Brother Scott? The things that you guys make, you twisty things. They make their own pasta. They make their own gnocchis because they're Italian. Forget about it. And so, I remember seeing that there and it was covered. I'm like, what is that for? It's like, we make pasta. Praise the Lord. And I was like, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was some type of, prophetic life group or something that talked about, how to grow in the prophetic. And as a matter of fact, we have a life group. Let's grow in the prophetic. And that was the second life group. We did that. And we embarked on this journey of learning how to hear the Lord. There's the book by Stephen Thompson, if I'm not mistaken. You May All Prophesy. I encourage you to read that book. But the word of the Lord comes, and it is usually affirmation of what God is already speaking to you. It would often simplify and clarify things for you, or it's going to shock the unbeliever to hear someone speak about issues no one knew, and it lets them know that God cares about them individually. I can't tell you how many people have been impacted by the word of the Lord that comes prophetically. Hallelujah. How many of you guys know Minister Jolene? And it's a Jolene, from Eagle River. She came, Juby does what I call gangsta, bringing people to church. She doesn't kidnap them. I mean, she doesn't do it anymore because now she's more saved and sanctified. But back in the day, she was like, straight up kidnap them without them knowing. And she brought them to Life Group, at our house, and she comes in, and she's like, by the way, I'm not going anywhere. You're not leaving until I leave, so you can either stay in the car or come inside with me. And so Minister Jolene at the time, goes into, comes inside, and they had the life group, and she's like, oh my goodness, what am I doing here in these people's houses? I don't even know them. And then, before she left, Pastor Rosie, the Lord dropped a word for her, and as she, everybody was in the kitchen, she was by the door, and she, delivered the word of God, and she was impacted. And ever since then has not left. And God is doing great and mighty things in Minister Jolene's life and through her. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but the one who prophesies speak to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Now, that's the word of the Lord when it comes. It comes to build up. It comes to strengthen and to encourage and to comfort you. Hallelujah. Back in the day, it was like, we're going to tell everybody what you're doing wrong. So, everybody heard of a prophet. They're like, run. No, not anymore. But what the prophecy is not is the shortcut to your destiny. This is your destiny, Simba. This is your destiny. No, that's not what the prophetic word is. Doesn't mean you can take a time out because Jesus got it. Jesus, take the wheel. How many of you ever said that? How many of you try to give Jesus the wheel? I got news for you. Jesus don't drive. And he's not going to violate your volition. He's our ever-present help in time of need. God can take over, but he's going to guide you through. Why is that? Because in a love relationship, you don't force things on people. And God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would call upon his name would have everlasting life. So it's a walk. The Lord says, hey, don't do this and you live longer, but he gives you the option. God is not going to violate that. And we receive the promises of God in seed form. And you had to cultivate the seed. You received the word. How many received the word? We all did, right? What are you doing about it? The great majority of the promises of God are conditional. If you, then I will. And so if you got a word, you need to go to a life group to see it come about. You need to get plugged in. You guys all right? You're like, wait a minute. I did not know about that before. But that's how God works. Because God, you know, he doesn't just want you for, you know, it's not a date. It's not Tinder. It's not a casual thing with the Lord. The relationship with God, it's not something that is passive. It's not something that is, you know, it's something that's supposed to be eternal, just like marriage. Hallelujah, you pursue one another. God desires not just, if you look in 2 Corinthians 8, that the Apostle Paul commends the people there that gave, the Macedonians, not just because they gave extremely generously despite of their condition, but because first and foremost, they gave of themselves. Yes, very good. They gave of themselves. So when God speaks to us, he's actually calling you to a deeper relationship with him. The prophetic word comes so you know that God knows you. He knows where you are. He knows your future. He knows the plans that he's got for you to bless you and to give you a future. But if you don't partner with him, if I don't partner with the word of God, we will never see it fulfilled. Pastor Daniel texted me and, you know, asked me, can you preach on Wednesday? I could have said no. When he first asked me, you know, I don't know when was the first time he ever asked me to preach. But I could have said no when he asked me, hey, can you help me with ushers? I'm too good for that. I don't know why all you men are not ushers. All of you men, Eagle River. Eagle River. All right, see that? We talked about that. Men, rise up. Be a part of what God's doing. Ladies, sign up. Be a part of what God's doing, because your future depends on how tied in you are with the Lord. The fulfillment of the word God gave you depends on how tied in you are with the Lord. Now, looking at our scriptures, the prophet Agabus, he came from Judea. He ties Paul with his own belt, and he says, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem are going to bind the owner of this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles. In other words, you're going to jail. You're going to get bound, you're going to get shackled, and you're going to go to jail. If you go up to Jerusalem. And they tried to dissuade him from doing that thing. However, what did he say? Like, nah, I'm still going, y'all. That's what he said. Now, the office of the prophet is a gift of Jesus to the church. We're supposed to be continually growing to become more and more like Jesus. And the word comes to cause us to grow. In Ephesians, it says that he's given the apostles, the pastors, the prophets, evangelists, and the teachers for what? For the equipping of the saints. Who the saints? You're the saints. If you're a believer, you're the saints. So the word of God comes to equip us. Equip us for what? For the works of ministry. That's why you should go to a life group. Because the word of God comes because God wants to activate you. He wants to get you moving in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Doing something for the Lord. But I give. Yeah, God wants more than just your giving. He wants you. Hallelujah. He wants all of us. And we're supposed to be continually growing to become more and more like Jesus. You know what the standard is of the maturity level of a believer? Who knows what the standard is? It's Jesus. We're supposed to be growing more and more until we become like Jesus. Oh, but I'm just broke. No, you're not broken unless you are. And if you're broken, you need to get healed. And if you got healed, you're no longer broken. Come on, get moving. Hallelujah, get moving. You guys all right? Paul's response to the prophetic word was, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be dissuaded, he gave up. We gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. You see, the prophetic word came, if you go, you're going to be arrested, you're going to be handed over to the Gentiles. But he says, I'm doing what God's called me to do. No matter what happens, I'm going to get it done. Hallelujah. When you spend time with the Lord, you grow in maturity and he can trust you with top secrets. Some of you got offended that we're having a service on a Wednesday night after a full conference weekend. How can God trust you with more? No, you're here. I'm talking to the people online. Hallelujah. Acts 9:16 says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. The ultimate call of a believer is to die for the Lord. Actually, it's to live dead. He says, take up your cross and follow after me, which means there's no room for offense. And the word from the prophet Agabus was also an encouragement for the church. Why is that? Because he revealed what was going to happen so nobody was taken by surprise when he was actually arrested. But rather, they were inspired to know, listen, he's a man who loved God. He's a man who feared God. And he obeyed God, even if it meant he were going to get arrested. You know, I gathered my kids when COVID began and all that craziness and nonsense began happening and shutdowns and essential this. Now they were labeling all these things. You know, if some are essential, others are not. So what do you do with things that are not essential in a pinch? You get rid of it. And I gathered my kids and I said, listen, kids, if it ever comes down to it and they got a gun to my head or a gun to mom's head and they're saying, if you don't deny Jesus, I'm going to kill your mother, I'm going to kill your dad or whatever it is, you don't deny the Lord. That's what my parents did for me. I remember being 6 years old and finding my mom's eschatology books in Brazil and reading about him. You know, you can read Revelations and what happens, you know, when people will eat their tongues and they won't die. And all these, it's the word of God. But, you know, that's after the church is raptured. How sold out are you for the Lord? Oh, gosh. Now, God's speaking to us. One of the main reasons why so many don't fulfill God's purpose for their lives is self-preservation. You get a prophetic word, but it's like, God, you know, it's not, you can't just wait for it to happen. You actually have to take action. You have to take steps of faith to see it fulfilled in your life. And being here tonight is one of them. Hallelujah. So come on, you can pat yourselves on the back for being at church on Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Now we are responsible for the word of God spoken over us. Did you know that Paul could have chosen not to go to Jerusalem? He could have been like, what, jail? That's what I felt. The Lord was speaking to me. That's confirmation. I'm not going to go there. But rather, he decides, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to do what God's called you to do. In 1 Timothy 1, in verse 18, he tells Timothy, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. So if you got a recording, so when you're like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, listen to that recording. Listen to the word of God. No, I know the plans that I have for you to give you a hope, to give you a future. God's going to give you a family. He's going to bless you. That thing you're believing for, God, it's going to be fulfilled in your life and you need to contend with that word. God, you said I will be completely healing. So I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get up and I'm going to move according to your word. Minister Dusty in Niger River, you know, there was a few weeks ago, kids were getting sick. Everybody had a cold and had fever and his youngest daughter had a fever. And they were, you know, he was reading the word in John when Jesus says, you know, get up, take up your mat and walk. So he went, he laid hands on her, he prayed for her. He says, all right, honey, you got to get up and you got to walk. Go walk. And she got up and she went walk and she got healed. Hallelujah. Fever went away. She got healed. Now, a few days later, he had a fever. And he was laying down. And he had all the blankets around him like a man cold. Listen. Listen, ladies. You may have had 9 babies, but you've never experienced pain until you've had a man cold. Let me tell you, it's serious. And so he's laying under the blankets, and his youngest daughter comes, "Hey, Dad, you all right?" "Yeah, I'm overcoming. I'm gonna pray for you." So she prays for him, anoints him with the oil. "All right, Dad, get up and walk." Jesus said, "Get up and walk." And he said, so, you know, he got up and walked, and he got healed. Come on. When the word comes to you, you take action and you experience that healing. Don't take possession of the brokenness. Don't take possession of what the enemy has said, but rather take the word of God and run with it. Because when you run with the word, you will have victory every single time. And Paul tells Timothy, stand, recall the words, fight the battle with the words you received, not your wife, the battle. Not your husband, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. In 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. So there's impartation that came this weekend, and you must take action upon it. When you read the word of God, you must take action with the word of God. If he says, don't fornicate, don't. Amen. Luke 11:28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Whatever the Lord's spoken to you is to encourage you, to muster up the courage to take whatever action you need to fulfill God's purpose in your life. We have a young adult in Eagle River that, you know, last time that Pastor Josh, or a couple years ago, he gave her a word that God was leading her into a place where, you know, of higher education. So she went out after she received that word. She went out, she enrolled into school and got her master's degree. And I'm like, no way, that's awesome. And she's like, yeah, I didn't want the prophet to come back and I didn't take any action on that word. I'm like, there you go. Whatever the Lord has spoken to you is to encourage you and to muster up the courage to take whatever action you need to fulfill God's purpose in your life. You know, we were in Israel a couple weeks ago. And we, you know, we're just walking and talking about different things. And I heard one of the guys say, you know, we have a saying, we're not going to wait for a miracle. Whoa. We're not going to wait for a miracle. That doesn't mean you don't believe in miracles, but so many people are sitting on their, you know, blessed assurance, waiting for God to do something that he's called you to do. You know that he says in the Bible, mortify the deeds of the flesh. What are the deeds of the flesh? Envy, jealousy, carousing, sexual immorality, drunkenness, fornication, adultery. He says that we're supposed to mortify that things. How many people have I heard praying for God to take that away from them? But God says, mortify the deeds of the body. If you give in to the desires of the flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you will experience life. Hallelujah. With people, power, and purpose. Glory to God. And he calls us, you know, if you look at the Apostle Paul's call to ministry, he calls Ananias to go lay hands on him. And it says, you know, I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for my sake. Let me tell you, when God calls you to do something, the grace of God enables you to do those things. The grace of God is not an excuse. It's not, you know, like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. No, it's not. The grace of God rather empowers you to do great things for God. And I've discovered in my life that when I take steps of faith, when I say yes to the Lord, when I take action on the Word of God, that He empowers me to do what He's called me to do. And when I don't, I don't. Hallelujah. When we moved to Eagle River, when the Lord, you know, Pastor Daniel said, what do you guys think about Eagle River? We said, no, we don't want to go to Eagle River. Wasilla is the place to be. Really, we love this church. We love our pastors. We love all of you. And it was like the biggest party in town. But God, how many know God has called us there? And as we began to pray, the Lord began to confirm in our hearts and began speaking with us. And so what do? We moved to Eagle River. It was a huge step of faith. But let me tell you, when we took that step of faith, the Lord began to bless us. He opened doors for us that previously were not open. And we are more blessed today than we have ever been in our lives because we are in the center of God's will. And so many people for the self-preservation, like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. No, you trust the Word of God and you take that step of faith because if the Lord said it, He will fulfill it in your life. Hallelujah. Ananias was afraid because Paul was, you know, had been a persecutor of the church, but he still went. In 2 Corinthians 11, you know, and 11:23, the Bible says, you know, or the Apostle Paul himself is saying, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often. Anybody here be in prison for the gospel? Well, you know, what's in it for me? He says, you know, there's tons of blessings that's in it for us. Jesus said that when you leave mother and father and whatever else to serve Him, He will bless you 100-fold here on earth and then many more times in eternity. There are blessings in the presence of the Lord that do not compare with anything you can experience in the physical realm. Plus, you know, the blessings of the physical realm. He says, I've been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number. Anybody ever gotten whipped for loving Jesus? Not for being dumb, but for loving Jesus and preaching the gospel, for being at the wrong place, wrong time, wrong crowd. No, for loving Jesus, doing good, serving others. He got whipped and faced death and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, not like, you know, stoned, like stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers, from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, and during many sleepless nights, I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. And I'm not saying this to say, you know, it's okay for to have a screwed up life. It's okay. No, that's not what he's saying. And he's not even complaining. Either he's boasting on this, that I've been serving God with everything, that he didn't have a family. He's like, I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to serve God with everything that I have. And he said, I've endured all these things because I love the Lord and I have a calling. And I will tell you that the grace of God empowered him to go through those things. Amen. Now, how many of you pray anyway? The grace of God empowers them. There's the Word of God that comes will strengthen you, will empower you to do great and mighty exploits for the Lord. And I want to encourage you tonight to rise up, to take that prophetic word, to stand on it, to contend on it. You're not going to get shipwrecked. Most likely you're not going to get beaten with rods. You're definitely not going to get stoned with actual rocks. Unless you are. But I'm saying rise up. Hallelujah. And even if that were the case, would you still do it? If you said yes and you're not at prayer tomorrow morning, Pastor Kirsten, I took a picture. No, I'm just kidding. Be at prayer. If you want to do anything, be a part of Kings and be in leadership, you must be in prayer. 7 a.m., Monday through Saturday. Hallelujah. Saturday, yes? You are responsible for your own destiny. I know that's not popular. I know that most people want Jesus to take the wheel. He ain't going to take no wheel. Jesus is not going to take the wheel of your life. That's your responsibility. He's not given a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, say with me, a sound mind. You have a sound mind if the Spirit of God abides on the inside of you. He will quicken your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. But we're responsible for that word that God's given us. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, come on, say it with me, proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Get moving. Hallelujah. We must fight with the word that God gave you in order to secure the hope and the future that God has for you. You know where that battle play is most of the time? It's right here. Because the flesh didn't want to drive to Wasilla today to preach. The flesh doesn't want you to. The Bible says the flesh wars with the Spirit. But the more that you give in, that you obey the Spirit, that you do the things of God, the more victory you will have, and the easier it gets. I don't struggle with sin. I don't struggle with pornography. I don't sin every day. I know a lot of, media teachers or preachers will say, we all sin, everybody sins, we all have our thing. No, we don't. Because you can't be doing what we're doing here in Eagle River if you got some secret thing. Our pastor lives holy. Our pastor's pastors live holy. I've been in the back rooms with these men. There's no innuendos going around. There's no dirty jokes going around. No, there's a regard for the Lord. There's a fear of God that grips their hearts. A desire to see the kingdom of God birthed in this place. Hallelujah. There's no compromise. And I'm telling you, you can live in that place too. If you will draw near to the Lord, if you will take that word and you say, come hell or high water, I'm going to draw near to the God. I'm going to put my flesh down. I'm going to go to prayer. Nobody likes early morning prayer. All the guys from Hawaii was like, man, I'm really thinking about this 7 a.m. thing. Because prayer in Hawaii is at 5:30 in the morning. None of us want to be up at 5:30 in the morning. Dr. Morocco doesn't want it, but he doesn't say it. He's never said that he doesn't want to, but he doesn't say, because he puts the flesh down. Dr. Morocco is, a different breed. He's a great man of God. And he leads by example. And leaders lead. And we're called to lead this city for the Lord. We're called for Eagle River. To lead Eagle River to the Lord. We're called to, we have a mandate to take over the state. Some of you in this room, there are campuses, there are churches on the inside of you, but you're too complacent to step into the calling that God has for you, to put down your flesh, to obey your pastor. Matthew 11, 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There's no chill in the kingdom of God, but he will empower us. And there's, I love Pastor Daniel, what we see, if there's ever a prayer meeting that he walks into, it becomes a fiery prayer meeting. I remember one time we were at the barn here a few years ago, and I had gotten these mittens that were PVC. And so in the cold, they got really cold. They had a lining, but you know, I don't know who invented them. It was a stupid glove for winter. I don't know, it probably wasn't for cold, but I was wearing for cold, and so it was, you know, my hands were cold. They were mittens. And so I'm like, I know, I got a great idea. I'm gonna put them on the heater so that when I leave, they'll be nice and warm. PVC gloves, shredded PVC gloves. And I remember being there in prayer at the barn. And we went in at 6. It was one of those 2-hour, you know, we were, I think it was the 21 days of prayer. For whatever reason, I was there like way earlier. And I put my gloves on there. And I had my eyes closed. And I remember, and there was, you know, and Pastor Daniel comes in and he's like, hey, dude. Yes, sir. Do you see a haze? I'm like, yes. And it's like, he walks away, finds the glove, it's smoking, opens the door, and he comes back to me. If it doesn't smell like the Rose of Sharon, it ain't the Holy Ghost. I love the boldness of our pastor that'll turn situations around. And I've learned that with him. And when you're in a prayer meeting, is it lame? Make it unlame. Is your life not going the place where how do you don't want it to go? You take the hold of the whatever that is. You get in the presence of the Lord. You get in there with that word and you begin to call it out. You begin to proclaim and you will see things change. But if you don't, you won't. God created the world with his words. He's given us the tongue can bring death or life. And the devil will try to convince you that you can't change anything. It's destiny. Baloney. It's in the power of your words. What you were experiencing is in the power of your words. I've heard people, you know, that dealing with sickness and they're like, oh, I'm going to stop taking my medication by faith. Don't stop taking your medication. Disown the sickness first. Because people try to stop taking the medication, but it's like, you know, my diabetes or my, you know, high blood pressure or my whatever. And I stand here, you know, my mother has super high blood pressure. She doesn't have one of the comorbidities of high blood pressure. And I'm talking about 240 over 180 at rest. Never had a stroke. Doesn't have heart problems, doesn't have kidney problems, doesn't have liver problems, doesn't have pancreas problems. You know why? Because she gets in the presence of the Lord, and no matter what's going on in her body, the doctors may still tell her she's got high blood pressure, but she stands in the presence of the Lord on a daily basis, and she calls upon the name of the Lord, and she does not accept, she does not receive those things. And you can too. You must stand. Come on, let's all stand. With the word that you received and not give up and not give in, but press forward. The word says, I've set my face like a flint. I will not be disgraced. The Lord will not forsake me. The Bible says, Jesus said, that God is not pleased with those who start something and then stop. And I want to encourage you tonight, you've received a great word. Don't stop. Set your face like a flint. What's a flint? A stone. Be hard-headed for the things of God, not for your own thing, the things of God. And as you seek after Him, you're going to have victory. You're going to have victory. Come on, say with me, I'm going to have victory. On a daily basis, come to early morning prayer. Yes. Do the power pose. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Shut up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. For 2 minutes every day, do that. Do whatever is necessary to see the call of God be fulfilled in your life. And by that I mean, come to prayer in the morning. Become a part of a life group. Serve on a team. Well, Pastor, you say that every time you preach. Yes, because it's the only way that you're going to have breakthrough on a continual basis is by surrounding yourself with victorious people. I guarantee you that life group leaders have, you know, oh yeah, this prophecy got fulfilled. This prophecy got fulfilled. This prophecy got fulfilled. This prophecy got fulfilled. They can tell you. You get around those people, nothing will be impossible to you. And it's on you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.